the prophetic timeline, our assigned topic, proposes that we are able to put into some sense of order or sequence various prophetic events that are either directly or indirectly found in the Word of God. This we will try to do, and yet we want to emphasize that our proposed timeline contains our suggestions. We are not suggesting that our proposed sequence of events is the only one possible. Yet, we do think that we are following the latest views of the seventh messenger, Brother Russell, as he tried to likewise come to a better understanding of prophetic events from his day, now over a century ago. We will see that what has not changed at all is the scriptural prophecies themselves. We were asked to consider some of the key expectations that Brother Russell had that signaled the ending of the harvest. Brethren, the logical question then becomes, how will we know when the harvesting of the wheat, the church, is completed? Brother Russell connected the gathering of all the wheat into the heavenly garner as a similar event as the closing of the door to the marriage. Fortunately, Brother Russell gave us his understanding in the third volume, page 207. Quote, "There are three ways in which the closing of this door to the marriage might be indicated." End of quote. Now, he goes on to say, he goes on to write, that first, there may be a date in Scripture. Secondly, perhaps the public would appreciate the truth, and therefore no one could suffer for the truth's sake. And thirdly, opportunities to serve the truth would be stopped. And in the third volume on page 208, Brother Russell states that the Bible does not give an exact date. And the scriptures are clear. The public will not embrace the truth until after the harvest period is fully ended. However, he does write about the third way he suggested. Quote, "But we have a clear intimation that the door will be shut in the manner last named, for before the millennial day breaks, we are forewarned of a dark night wherein no man can labor." See Isaiah 21:12. End of quote. And furthermore, in the third volume on page 230, quote, "Though we may be sure that this change of the last living members of the body of Christ will not take place until the work committed to them in the flesh is accomplished, we are informed, as shown in the preceding chapter, that ere long our work will be cut short gradually at first, and then completely, and finally, when the night cometh, when no man can work." John 9, verse 4. End of quote. Now we want to focus on Brother Russell's latest views on these matters from his 1916 writings. First, from the 1916 forward to the third volume, page I. Quote, "The work of harvest has progressed and is still progressing, even though at one time we supposed that the harvest work would have been fully accomplished with the ending of the times of the Gentiles. That was merely a supposition, which proved to be without warrant. For the thrusting in of the sickle of truth and the gathering in of the ripe grain has been progressing since October 1914 as never before." End of quote. let us make a few observations regarding the harvest work from the foregoing set of quotes from the third volume and its 1916 foreword. It is intriguing that Brother Russell plainly wrote that the Bible does not give the exact date. Yet, in the 1916 foreword, he is correcting his mistake that the church would be complete about 1914 with the ending of the Gentile times, calling it an unwarranted supposition. This demonstrates how easy it is for some dear brethren to fall into the same mistake. We are so thankful that the Lord determined to allow Brother Russell to live long enough past the 1914 date so that he could demonstrate his humility and his faithfulness to the Lord by correcting this error, no matter how reasonable it undoubtedly seemed at the time. Yet, not only did Brother Russell correct this, but he went further by writing that the harvest work regarding the wheat continued past 1914 as never before. So then, none of us should be thinking that Brother Russell thought the harvest work of gathering the wheat has stopped. Actually, we are doubly blessed. How so? First, we do not have to waste time and energy trying to find a date for the end of the harvesting of the wheat. Secondly, we can still hold to the understanding Brother Russell first gave on how we would know the door was shut. That is, the reapers would be stopped from the reaping work, would be halted by outside forces. It is not a decision we need to make. In fact, it is only the Lord that can close the door to the marriage of His Son. It does remind us of how it was God that closed the door to the ark He had Noah build. But back to the point of setting dates for the door being shut. Sadly, some brethren have been setting dates as long ago as 1925, almost a century ago. Especially detrimental have been those who set dates and then, when their date passed with no evidence of the harvesting work ceasing, they made claims that, in fact, the door was shut, that the brethren just did not realize it. Soon they started to promote the idea that the bride of Christ was complete and now only an earthly hope of resurrection is possible. How confusing this is. These brethren's prophetic timeline is devoid of scriptural support. Surprisingly, these same brethren still study the six volumes. However, they also study other writings written later by an authority they accept as being able to improve upon the harvest message given. Other brethren have set and promoted dates that have come and gone, yet gratefully they did not try to shut the door. Rather, their dates just quietly passed by. What we find puzzling is, why would any of us think God would want us to know the date when the door would be shut? What good would it do? How would that help the brethren to make their calling and election sure? We have learned that our individual sacrifices must be a free will offering, that we are to continue to wave or heave our little sacrifice before the Lord until He thinks it is enough. And yes, any one of us might have to render up our account this very night, even as Jesus taught us. Dates are not to be our motive to engage in the harvest work. Witnessing is to demonstrate our desire to co-labor with God and with our fellow brethren who are in the light of present truth, to share that glorious truth to others. Our first motive is to assist in finding the last grains of wheat. Secondly, it is as a witness to the world to give them hope for the future. Thirdly, it is to bundle the tares prior to their burning. We want to take a few moments to consider a side point. In the fifth volume, on page 294, quote, "While the chief mission of the church has been her own development, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, and so on, Jude verse 20, yet she has always had a secondary mission, that of witnessing to the truth, letting the light shine, reproving the world." End of quote. Brethren, we want to note that this quote is under the subheading, "How the Spirit Reproves the World." And quoting from John 16, verse 8, "When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Brother Russell is presenting the thought that the church, who already have the Holy Spirit enlightening their minds and hearts, our first mission, so to speak, the same Spirit of holiness in them is to be a light in the darkness of this world. This is a secondary outcome to those who live lives of holiness. If someone would like to read more on these two aspects, see the fifth volume, page 191, under the subheading, "Holy and Unholy Influences at Warfare." Brother Russell outlines the twofold mission of the Spirit of Holiness during this gospel age. In the first volume, page 267, we read another approach to the same twofold mission of the church. Quote, "The saints may influence the world only by their separateness from it, by letting their light shine, and thus through their lives, the Spirit of truth reproves the world. The Church of God should give its entire attention and efforts to preaching the kingdom of God and to the advancement of the entrance of that kingdom according to the plan laid down in the Scriptures." End of quote. Those who are familiar with Brother Russell's writings understand that he consistently taught that our harvest witnessing efforts were, in fact, an important aspect of our developing the Spirit of Christ in ourselves. Returning now to our consideration of Brother Russell's latest expectations. Point 2, Sermon Book, page 686, a sermon entitled "The Great White Throne." Written in November of 1914, it is a rather unique sermon, largely demonstrating the banking and money issues of that time. It is on page 695 that we read this brief expression, quote, "The money kings, earthly rulers, and ecclesiastical princes are taking counsel together for the preservation of present inequities of the world by which they are profiting." End of quote. A few observations. We note that Brother Russell was not expressing his interests in the monarchical kings. Rather, he understood that the real powers were those who had control over money and the world's political leaders and the religious leaders. All of them were benefiting from the unfair practices of that day. And actually, those same groups still are. Third point. In the 1916 forward to the third volume, Roman numeral page 4, quote, "For a little while there will be a great triumph of churchianity after the war. Both Catholics and Protestants will share in this triumph, and both political and financial princes will encourage it. hoping for the prolongation of their own power. At that time, we may expect strong opposition from churchianity upon the true faithful followers of Jesus, resulting in serious persecutions, perhaps even unto death. But the triumph of Babylon will be short. Soon the sentence already pronounced will be executed, and she shall fall like a great millstone into the sea, into anarchy, into destruction, never to rise again. Not long after, according to the Bible, we may expect the total collapse of our present civilization. End of quote. A few observations from this quote. Brother Russell expected a short, brief cooperation between papacy and Protestants, along with political and financial leaders. As a result, the truth would be opposed. What truths? Probably that the governments of this world must pass away and be replaced by the true government of God. That God does not approve or endorse his people to be involved in worldly governments. And of course, this is clearly outlined in the first and fourth volumes, along with the others. After that, all the other main points of our faith, God and Jesus are separate, that the Holy Spirit is not a person, that there is no literal hellfire of eternal torment, that there will be a future kingdom of God and his Christ right here on this very earth, that the soul can die, and so forth. Item 4. 1916 forward to the fourth volume, page 3. Quote, the Bible points out that about this time, when the war ends on page 2, the nominal church systems of the world will rise to great prominence again in connection with the civil powers. We can readily see the grounds for this. The churches also will be ready and glad for such an opportunity. Already they are rolling together as a scroll, the one side Catholic, the other Protestant, opposed and yet connected, each side united and federated to the best of its ability. But the Bible declares that this reign as a queen will be a short one. It will be during the power of this so-called queen for a little season that the world will be under a great strain as respects any presentation of the truth. End of quote. A few observations on this quote. Brother Russell repeatedly says that the Bible points out. Yes, primarily in the Revelation, it is demonstrated how this gospel age ends. It shows that after the war, there would come financial troubles, and that the political and financial leaders would use the church leaders to try to control the masses of people and to keep the economic system from collapsing. It shows that the Catholics and Federated Protestants would work together, although maintaining their individual identities. After considering the foregoing expectations of the problems that the nominal churches will cause in the future, we want to take a moment to consider some of the current problems that the nominal churches are or can be to us brethren. It is true that there are instances when members of some churches interfere with our various witness efforts directly. We have had this happen to us occasionally at fair booths and tracting events and such. We even had an advertisement contract to show over 20 commercials on the television regarding the papacy as the Antichrist canceled. And many of us have had good witnessing efforts with individuals stopped due to nominal ministers' interference, calling us a cult and such. Brother Russell and the truth are still aggressively misrepresented and vilified in books, articles, and of course, on the internet. However, there is another perhaps indirect way in which the nominal church's doctrinal and prophetic errors and confusion afflict and impede the harvest work. Over the years, we have seen sincere brethren giving up on present truth understanding, only to return to old nominal church interpretations that are out of harmony with the divine plan of the ages. Examples of this are thinking that the little flock is under the same new covenant as Israel will be in the future, that the Antichrist is not the line of popes, but rather a single literal man in the future, that the prophecies that Jesus gave for us, for those living during his parousia, presence, as found in Matthew the 24th chapter, were really fulfilled at the first advent, and that our Lord has not returned, or if he has returned, he cannot actually be in earth's atmosphere, because he was never really sent from heaven itself. All these matters and more create confusion amongst the brethren and can sidetrack the good work of completing the true church. Sadly, I can say that I have seen tremendous siftings among dear brethren over these issues. But we also know from Scripture that the Lord has so allowed for it. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses 8 through 12. Now we want to bring out some current events that demonstrate that his expectations are still accurate and probable. However, it's important for us to remember just how fast and how unpredictable world conditions can change. For example, the dramatic rise of a Christian conservative supermajority on the Supreme Court. The global pandemic with all the various effects it is having. The current ground, sea, and air war in Europe, particularly Ukraine. The January 6th insurrection at the United States Capitol, and so much more. Brother Russell wrote in 1907, reprint 3992, quote, "We cannot now think of what plea or pretext could be used to interfere with our legal rights and privileges under the law, but we are to expect that in a very few years, the Federation of the various Christian denominations will give them a political influence that they have never before had. And we are to expect that politicians will be ready at that time to obey the united voice of the people, if not the voice of God. And that, however illegal or unjust the procedures, they would be prepared to put a stop to our work." End of quote. In Scripture, we have some examples of how rapidly and dramatically situations can change. The destruction of Pharaoh and his army in one day. The three Hebrews being charged and sentenced. Daniel 3. Daniel being charged and sentenced himself. The fall of Babylon in one night. The destruction of Jericho in one day. Stephen accused and executed by a religious zealous mob. John the Baptist arrested and beheaded. Elijah suddenly separated and taken up. And of course, our own dear Lord Jesus being suddenly arrested, tried six different times, and then executed on the cruel cross, all in less than 24 hours. Let us be awake to our privileges and duties, for none of us can be sure what the Lord's timing of events will be. Following are some of the more recent events that confirm what Brother Russell was expecting according to Scriptures grouped into a few categories. 1. Christian religious news items. A. Brethren, we could cite numerous examples of how the more recent popes have aggressively continued the ecumenical outreach to so-called Protestants since Vatican II in the 1960s. And in fact, this current Pope Francis is undoubtedly the most zealous in his efforts. He's the first pope to meet with the Russian Orthodox Patriarch, 2016 in Cuba. He's the first pope to send a video message to a gathering of evangelical leaders in the United States, personally asking them to pray for him. And in fact, Kenneth Copeland did lead this large group in prayer for God to bless the Pope, and that was in 2014. Item B. Suffice it to say here that, in fact, the Catholic Church organization has a website entitled Ecumenicism on their Catholic news agency, trying to keep up with and promoting all the many ongoing interfaith ecumenical activities taking place worldwide. Item C. Christian faith and freedom political rallies. These are political rallies that unabashedly promote political leaders that hold their social values. They are a so-called God and country movement that frequently uses praise music and prayers in their meetings. Item D. In the USA, Christian conservatism in both the evangelical and Roman Catholic churches, among others, have no hesitation in promoting political leaders that share their view of installing what they consider to be a Christian government and how their church members should vote. This is also true in some countries in Europe, notably Poland and Hungary. Item E. The head of the Russian Orthodox Church publicly endorses Putin's false claims for the invasion of Ukraine. Item F. In January of 2021, the Catholic podcast entitled The Bible in a Year with Friar Mike. It was in first place on Apple Podcasts. As of this July 2022, it is at number 37 in the top 100 podcasts. It has been downloaded over 142 million times with over 3.3 billion minutes of listening. Item G. Currently, there are 2.6 billion total Christians in the world. 1.2 billion are Roman Catholic. Brethren, that is a lot of tares. Item H. The WCC, World Council of Churches, mission, in part, is to promote unity among Christian churches. They currently claim over 500 million members in 110 countries. Part of their belief statement is, quote, "We are a fellowship of churches that declare Jesus as God and Savior to the glory of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." End of quote. Item I. In 2019, Pope Francis announced a most peculiar relationship, his participation in a worldwide group called the Council for Inclusive Capitalism. The members consist of such mega wealthy and influential leaders as the Rothschild Banking House, the CEOs of Visa, Bank of America, British Petroleum, Johnson & Johnson, MasterCard, DuPont, the Rockefeller Foundation, and many more. They have a website which promotes their desire and attempts to assist the poor. It is of great interest that one of the founding members, Lynn Forrester de Rothschild, stated that, quote, "I think that a lot of kids have neither money nor hope, and that's really bad, because they're going to get mad at America." End of quote. This relationship, that is the Pope with these mega wealthy, reminds us of the merchants in Babylon as related in Revelation, the 18th chapter. Group number two, financial indicators of where we are in the prophetic timeline. Item A. First, the money is fiat money. That means that there is nothing of substance supporting the paper or the little numbers on the computer screen we see as our banking accounts. The money is only as reliable as the confidence one has in the country or banking institute issuing it. It is now a great Ponzi scheme. The USA owes over $19 trillion. Don't be fooled. Cryptocurrency is just a confidence game too. One that is only being sustained until the Lord decides it's time for it all to collapse. Item B. From James, the 5th chapter, Brother Russell saw that a large part of the coming Armageddon trouble would be the conflict between capital and labor. We might briefly sum it up that now we refer to the wealthiest people as the one percenters. Following are two quotes from the Oxfam, I'll spell it, O-X-F-A-M, Oxfam Organization for World Financial Equity. Quote, Eight men own the same wealth as the 3.6 billion poorest people in the world. And further, the world's richest 22 men, have more than twice as much wealth as 6.9 billion people. End of quote. Their conclusion: this is a dangerous concentration of wealth. And the scriptures agree. The time is coming when their wealth will lead to their destruction. Our third group, world events. Item A. We thought we would use the doomsday clock to express this. But first, some background about the doomsday clock. It was created in 1945 by Albert Einstein and the University of Chicago. Some of the first members included scientists who worked on the Manhattan Project, the United States atomic bomb creators. They created this forum, the doomsday clock, as a way of expressing their concerns about the world's condition. They set it every January, and it was originally set at 7 minutes before midnight. Yet in 2016, it was moved to 2.5 minutes before midnight when former President Trump was elected. Then in 2019, it was set at just 100 seconds before midnight, the closest it has ever been. And in January of 2022, they left it at 100 seconds before midnight. However, in March of this year, after the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, they issued a statement of their growing concerns, among them This was the first time since the doomsday clock was created that there was a ground, air, and sea war in Europe since World War II. This was also the first time a war was being waged that encompassed a nuclear power plant. And Russian leader Putin has openly threatened to use nuclear weapons if NATO continues to give military support to Ukraine. Following is a paragraph of just one of the many stark concerns of these scientists. Quote, as the January 6, 2021 insurrection of the U.S. Capitol demonstrated, no country is immune from the threats to its democracy. And in a state with nuclear weapons, usable material, and nuclear weapons, both can be targets for terrorists and fanatics. Notably, the insurrectionists came close to capturing Vice President Mike Pence and the nuclear football that accompanies the vice president as the backup system for nuclear launch commands. More than 10% of those charged with crimes during the January 6th insurrection were veterans or active service members. The Pentagon has conducted a major review of extremism in the military and has adopted new definitions of extremist activities in an attempt to reduce this danger in the future. The seriousness of the problem is clear. End of quote. Now that's the scientist writing. Yet note how closely this resembles Brother Russell's thinking regarding the Lord's great army. Yet furthermore, it demonstrates that some of the brightest minds in the world today, whether or not they are religious, recognize the untenable condition the world is in. Item B. We will consider another aspect of the unhinged arms race. That is, near space weapons of war. The USA, China, India, and Russia each have similar weapons. These countries have launched satellites that have lasers that can disable other satellites, among other capabilities. However, Russia, about December of 2021, decided to show the USA that they had a particular ability, even as they were massing their invasion troops on the border with Ukraine. Russia launched a satellite-killing missile 310 miles into space and blew up a 2-ton Soviet-era surveillance satellite in low Earth orbit. The explosion created a cloud of shrapnel that will threaten satellites and humans in the highly traveled low Earth orbit for decades to come. The U.S., German, and Russian astronauts on the International Space Station had to shelter in transport capsules for hours, ready to evacuate in case of collision. This created 1,500 pieces of shrapnel larger than 2 inches and hundreds of thousands of smaller pieces, which are traveling at 17,000 miles an hour, much faster than a bullet. How crazy is this? Item C. As a result of the Russian inhumane and unprovoked invasion of Ukraine, Germany has decided to immediately spend $110 billion in revitalizing their military. This is a huge shift in their position regarding their military since the end of World War II. Item D. On a related note, most, if not all, of the European nations have started to spend much more money on their militaries. Sweden and Finland both have voted to join the NATO alliance. These are all things that Putin did not want to happen. Sadly, this is a huge financial windfall for the military-industrial complex that the late President Eisenhower warned the nation about back in 1961. This and much more could be said about how one madman in power can once again set the world, including space, on the edge of destruction. And we take notice how suddenly it got to this point. Item E. The United States Supreme Court is currently made up of 9 justices who are voted in for life. One is Jewish, one is a non-denominational Protestant, one is an Episcopalian, though he was raised Catholic, and the remaining 6 are Roman Catholic. For some context, of the 115 historical court justices, there have only been 15 Catholics. Currently, there is a so-called supermajority. 5 of the Catholics and the 1 Episcopalian, which recently voted to, first, stop federal protection for abortion rights, second, allow for people to be able to carry concealed handguns without having to provide any specific need to, and thirdly, determine that state tax funds can be used for religious schools, not just public schools. And 4, that a Christian high school coach could kneel in prayer with his team on the game field. These last 2 rulings were seen as an erosion of the wall between church and state. Regardless of one's opinion on the issues, it is clear that this conservative Christian supermajority is determined to make unprecedented changes in the laws of this country. It is clearly indicating a sudden and profound shift similar to what Brother Russell was expecting. That is, that politically active Protestants and politically active Roman Catholics would gladly look past their differences of doctrine and practice in order to put into law and government any leaders that promote their so-called political and so-called Christian political and social agendas. This is a long way from the old moral majority efforts. Item F. In the world, we have seen that with modern technology advances, there are so-called news sources of every kind. Liberal, conservative, ultra-liberal, ultra-conservative, centrist, and on and on. Pro-governments, anti-governments, scientific, quasi-scientific, and just plain unscientific. There are now competing truths and questionable facts. Social media outlets, including TikTok, have become the dispensers of truth to those who choose to tune into them. People can no longer even agree as to what the actual science and facts are, even regarding the most important matters from health to who are our elected leaders. This is not unique to the USA, but it is a worldwide epidemic leading to unprecedented confusion, fear, and violence. Conspiracy theories have become so prolific and so deeply entrenched that many have become like religious beliefs. People are ready to die in order to support them. This too, Brother Russell saw from Scripture. Item G. The COVID-19 pandemic. The health crisis and related financial crisis is, of course, of epic proportions, largely due to the rapidity of its transmission globally. Societal norms have been dramatically altered, and it is not over. In the publication Nature and the publication The Week, articles appear that point out that we have entered a pandemic scene. That is, quote, a time defined by the power of viruses over humanity and the wider world, end of quote. What this is referring to is the growing possibility of more animal-to-human virus transmissions through which the animal carriers are not harmed, but humans have no immune response to them, not having been confronted with them before. Scientists know that there are hundreds of thousands of viruses in mammals and birds. Occasionally, one of these viruses is transmitted to a human, and only occasionally will it be able to bind itself to and penetrate a human cell. Then it might be able to multiply itself before our immune system recognizes the invader and makes the necessary antibodies and T and B cells to ward it off. Of course, these same viruses can be transmitted through contaminated food, water, and surfaces. As the climate warms, and as humans continue to expand into animal habitats, we are raising the odds of having more of these so-called spillovers. Item F. In 2021, in the USA, there were over 45,000 gun deaths. Over half were suicides. There were 517 mass shootings. Item G. The U.S. government commissioned an official investigation into UFOs, unidentified flying objects. Stay tuned. Item H. Hackers and hacking. We can only mention how devastating a potential of epic disruptions this has been and can be. This threat and the havoc it can create increases in power as the world relies more and more on electronic services. Brethren, in summarizing all the foregoing information, we can readily understand that all the various scriptural prophetic events the seventh messenger expected are still progressing today. The foretold birth pangs process that brings in the new heavens and the new earth continue with increased urgency. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. We want to look at a screen share that shows a prophetic timeline. This timeline shows 50 different scriptural events that are either happening now or will happen in the future. Please try to remember what we brought out at the beginning of this service. These are our suggestions only. We are only going to focus on those things that particularly relate to the Spirit-begotten children of God. Now I'm talking off script for a moment, and I would just like a confirmation that this timeline is being seen.
It's there. It's, of course, small, so if you can use your pad to zoom in on any section you want to talk about.
Thank you, Brother Bill. So, brethren, at first, let me just say when you see this overall, and it is small, we aren't going to discuss this whole timeline. We're going to focus on events that have started and events we think are in the future, but specifically regarding events that affect the Spirit Begotten. We can make this timeline available to anyone who might like to have it. But let me now return to my script and zero in. Now, it might make it easier. I'm not quite back to the script. I'm sorry, translators. A few moments more. Across the top, we see that the timeline covers prophetic events, scriptures, dealing with Israel, the world, the true church, the great company, and, got to get this small. Christendom. It takes us, the conclusion is the peaceable kingdom. About what we are considering is today, and this item from Revelation 3:10, the hour of temptation, which we think has already started since 1874, and that the hunters and fishers for Jewish people to return to Israel continues. Currently, many Jews are leaving Russia, or trying to. Still ahead of us, we expect a partial financial collapse. James 5:1-5. This will contribute to setting the stage, so to speak, for stronger governments to emerge. And also, there is the fear of Islam. Joel 3:10. We expect an Arab-Israeli war, outlined in Psalm 83. This is a war with their near neighboring countries. This is why we emphasize they are Arab Muslims. It will be followed by Israel having a sense of security, dwelling in unwalled villages. Ezekiel 38:11. There is the scriptural hour of power, mentioned in Revelation 17:21, which the scriptures refer to as a confederacy that develops between church and government leaders. This is depicted by the three croakings of the dragon, civil power, the beast, papacy, and the false prophet, federated Protestants. This develops into the vitalization of the image, and this is will then allow the enforced marking by the vitalized image, federated Protestants, of the beast, papacy. This has never happened in the past. Please read the 16-page, 1912 foreword in the fourth volume. Quickly following this enforced marking of the beast, outlined in Revelation 13, which the faithful little flock will not take, comes the picture of John the Baptist, symbolizing the little flock in the flesh, delivering a final message of truth that declares that the current church and state confederacy is not God's kingdom, nor is it God's will. This is very similar to Elijah's smiting of the Jordan, a message of truth that divides the public. By this time, the 144,000 are all irrevocably sealed in their foreheads. The pouring out of the seven last plagues take place. Following this, the antitypical John the Baptist class, the final feet members of the body of Christ, still in the flesh, are imprisoned or restrained in some manner. This is the time of the dark night when the witnessing work is forcibly stopped. By this time, the wise and foolish virgins, the little flock and the great company classes are separated. Same as the antitypical Elijah and Elisha classes. It is from this time onward that the great company realizes they are not part of the little flock, the bride class. The summer over, winter begins. Jeremiah 8:20. Now we see up above the church is complete. It's outlined in Revelation 7. The door to the marriage is shut. The final feet members of the little flock are martyred, shown by the death of John the Baptist and Elijah being taken up. It is now the time for the great company. Still in the flesh, to have their experiences bind the oil, the Holy Spirit, and receive an authority of being God's representatives in the earth. Elijah receiving his mantle. Elisha receiving the mantle. The marriage of the Lamb and the bride takes place in heaven. Revelation 19:7. Next events, the Armageddon crash, Revelation 16:16-19. Babylon is the great is cast down, the religious element first. The bundled tares are cast into the furnace of fire. Nominal Christians realize by both the events transpiring, as well as the final messages the little flock has been giving, that they are not the true disciples of Jesus. The fallen angels are no longer restrained, as shown in the complete loosing of the four winds, because then the little flock will have all been sealed and have gone to their heavenly reward. The great company have their final experiences through the worst time of trouble that has ever been. The great company are all out or come out of the nominal systems as those false church systems are being destroyed. It's at that time that the entire economic system collapses. The Lord's great army is now fully engaged in the social revolution that will before long turn into the fire of anarchy. Consuming any and all of the remnants of the old heavens and the old earth. And this is just as Jesus prophesied, the apostles Peter, Paul, James, John, and Jude all declared similarly. Brethren, we'll stop our screen share at this time. We'd like to close by reminding ourselves that we are to rejoice as we see all these evidences of the Lord's shaking the old world order apart, so that he and Jesus and the bride, hopefully including you and I, will then be able to start to put it all back together, only better. May the Lord add his blessing. Over.